Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It is now 7:08 here at WCCO. Welcome. You are listening to Steele Talking, and I am your host, Geralyn Steele. You know it's what I love to do is sit here and gab with you on a Sunday night, right? We have 4 hours to get it done. So are you ready? Strap in, darling. There's a lot to talk about. Susie Jones in studio, Jonathan Lowe in studio, and the new Shaletta Brundage right here on WCCO. Here we go. Woo! And you know this, right? You know, sometimes you just have to let things go. When things happen to you and you're not happy about it, maybe you feel a little embarrassed or you're questioning what's happening in your life, what's happening in your nation. Sometimes you got to let it go and you got to keep moving up and forward. So when I lost my nail the other day, I need y'all to understand. I need you to understand, Suze. Look at here. Bright red nails.
Mm-hmm.
Bright red. Nice.
Where's
and
the
long.
Broke one?
Okay.
It got
so,
fixed.
Exactly. So here's the deal. I've been wearing my natural nails for decades now, for like 2 decades. I decided to give up the whole fake nail thing.
All right.
And then they kept breaking. I wasn't getting enough vitamin E or something. Who knows?
Right.
Who knows?
Right.
And I decided I'm going to go in and I'm going to get, you know, some nails put on and just really try to pamper myself. Big mistake. Yeah. I hate to wear gloves, right?
Yeah.
So when I'm washing dishes and that sort of thing, and it gets, you don't wear fake nails. You don't ever
yeah,
do anything
I have,
like that.
I'm pamper myself too, Geralyn. I love massages and nails.
Right.
I'm kind of a foo-foo. But I have dip. Have you ever heard of the dip?
I've heard of the dip. Mm-hmm. I've never done it.
I should come over and show you my nails. They're
That's
kind
probably
of pretty.
Why I don't have a boyfriend.
Here.
I haven't dipped.
Ah!
Come on!
Come
that
on.
Was good.
That was pretty
good.
Funny.
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah. Anyway, the point is, I'm exhausted. I'm speaking of boyfriends. I went out of town this weekend.
You did? You guys did a trip together?
Yes, we did. We went
Shut
to
up.
Bluefin Bay up in Tofte, Minnesota. Did you know Bluefin?
No.
It's a beautiful resort. And I just needed to get away, Geralyn.
I bet you know Bluefin. It's very exciting that you, I mean, this is a big step for you.
To go out of town with
a boy
for 4 days? Yeah, but you know what? It was so easy and fun and comfortable and relaxing. And we laughed. We watched stupid, funny movies. We ate good food.
Mm-hmm. When you say stupid, funny movies, what are we talking here?
Oh, my goodness. What do we watch? Well, we watched Anchorman 2.
Oh, God, you are kidding when you say stupid.
That was stupid, but it was funny.
Oh, it's just so painfully stupid.
And then we watched Dirty Grandpa with Robert De Niro and Zac Efron.
I love Robert De Niro.
I know. I can't believe he does these movies, these schlocky movies.
Well, I know. He did The Intern, and I loved him in that.
Mm, that was sweet.
Yeah, that was sweet.
Speaking of movies, tonight's a big night, huh?
A big night, the Oscars. Okay, so if you were walking the red carpet, what color dress would you wear? Or would you wear a dress at all?
I would wear an emerald green gown. Over the shoulder, to the floor, with some jewels.
Okay, first of all, I need you to know that I have dreamt of myself in an emerald green gown for years.
No way!
I am not kidding you. I have wanted to
wear... We're soul sisters. I might be white.
Sisters.
I might be white.
I might be black.
Yeah.
But we are sisters for real.
Yes, we are.
Yeah, so I would do the same thing. We would go as twins, right?
We would.
I might have a pair of like really skinny pants under mine with a big flowy skirt.
Okay.
I think that would be...
I'm watching Victoria. It's over now on PBS, Masterpiece Theater.
Yes, it was a big one.
I would love to wear one of those dresses.
No way.
I swear I would.
Once you get in, you can't get out.
I know, forever and ever.
You go to sleep, you bathe in it.
I know.
You just walk around wet all the time.
You know, we were down in Charleston, South Carolina.
Yeah, yeah.
And getting tours of the fancy houses. Mm-hmm. Those clothes that those women wore weighed 40 pounds.
And only two could fit in the closets. Did you notice how small the closets were in the homes?
Right.
Yeah, yeah. My first house was built in 1898.
Where was that?
In St. Paul.
Right.
And I'm telling you, the closet was like so tiny. But those dresses were so heavy. And then they had all the other stuff with it.
Yeah.
Not just the
corset.
Dress, but...
I'd look ridiculous because they couldn't get a corset on me, especially after this weekend. Then we went to Glensheen Manor.
I've heard
Condon Manor.
Yeah.
We took a tour. And I was kind of obnoxious because I've read the book about the murder, so I know all about the murder. So I'm sorry, I'm yawning.
So you are
I'm
yawning. Tired. Are you bored?
No, I'm not. I'm
what
tired.
Is your issue? Why are you tired? You're too young. Oh, I'm sorry. There was a 4-day trip this weekend. Whoa, out.
Okay. Come on.
Seriously,
but,
though.
But Glen Sheen is beautiful.
Yeah?
And there was a murder.
Did you have a sense of any ghost or anything around?
No, but I was telling everybody else in the tour about the murder.
You were? Yeah. Did they not know? I mean, it was posted everywhere, right? I mean, isn't that the reason
why? Well, some people
are
like, is this the bedroom? I'm like, yes. How did he kill her? Smothered her with a pillow.
We are so smitten with, you know, those type of thrillers and murder mysteries and that sort of thing. I mean, you turn on the television, cable is full of murder mysteries.
I know. Right? I love them.
Why are we so obsessed?
Because we like, you know, the intrigue.
The intrigue? Murder is intriguing?
No, but the detective work is to figure out who did it.
And it's a really big deal, by the way. A lot of young people are going into forensics and, you know, because of shows like NCIS. I don't know who's affecting who. Is it that life is affecting art or art is affecting life? But you've got more and more young people going into that particular industry.
I could totally do it.
You could totally do it?
Yeah, dig in.
So go from the news to,
like, being an autopsy person, digging up bodies.
Are you for real? Excuse me, I want my friend card back. Give me my friend card back.
I'm kidding.
I just would never think of that with you.
Well, what do you think of our new friend here in the studio? Is she going to say hi to us?
I love Shaletta. I've known her for many years.
Put your ears on.
And Shaletta is hilarious. She's wonderful. She's crazy and just my kind of girl.
And she's figuring it out. You
she's
know, there's
figuring
a lot,
out.
A lot of buttons to push.
Yeah.
Here you go.
There are a lot of buttons to push.
What's with the gloves?
She doesn't want germs on her.
I am a germ phobe.
Too late.
And
I told
her
this place is filled with
you
girl.
Better be glad I don't have a mask on. I have some in my locker. I have a box of gloves and masks in my locker.
I will not be offended.
I'm glad. Yeah. I'm glad because I'm wearing my gloves. I've got 3 pair in my pocket, so I change them every couple of hours.
Are you serious?
I'm serious.
You
yeah,
do understand, though, that you are closest to the dirt because you're short.
Yeah.
You're short
I'm right down to the ground. So, yeah, so I got 4 babies at home. I can't take the WCCO radio germs back home to my house. They have to stay here.
Mm-hmm. And so, there are a lot of germs.
You are a woman of faith.
I am. I pray and I pass the Lysol. So, which is fine.
By the way, can we?
Owen Jonathan's
that's our
here.
New mantra.
Pray and pass the Lysol.
Praise
Jesus.
That's a bumper sticker, darling. Yeah,
speaking of patents, can we patent that WCCO dirt? Can we sell that at the state fair along with the Sid shirts?
We should.
Nobody would
and
buy
that
it,
stuff coming out of the vents.
WCCO germs and dirt.
That's terrible.
The germs Jonathan. From your good neighbor.
That's terrible.
Terrible.
Well, we welcome you, Shaletta.
Yeah.
So
thank
you
for having
here.
Me.
And you've got a long history of being behind the mic and so much
on
it's
stage.
Such an honor to work with you. It's such an honor to be around you and seeing your face. And she just lights up the room, doesn't she, when
oh,
she walks in?
Oh, my goodness. Jerilyn lights me up every Sunday night.
Yeah, she does.
Oh, that's so sweet. Shaletta and I have actually kind of followed each other around in different jobs.
We have.
You know, where when I started working at TPT, it was probably a good 6 years before she came over there. And, you know, we've just kind of, and then, of course, she just has a beautiful family, which I didn't know you had expanded to 4 children.
My husband and I fell in love all
Y'all
over again.
Y'all been busy.
Yeah, I think he broke up with his girlfriend. I'm not sure.
Or maybe you broke them up. I would buy that. All right, Suze, thanks for joining us.
All right,
you know,
darling.
I adore you.
All right, I'll talk to you later.
And congratulations on your 4-day trip.
I know.
Inspired.
It was wonderful. It was wonderful.
I want to go to Mexico. I'm not Mexico. I'm sorry. I want to go to Italy for my birthday this year. It's a big one. And I just keep saying to myself, should I do it? Jonathan, should I do it?
Go to Italy?
I want to go to Italy.
Buongiorno.
Buongiorno.
Get yourself some pasta and wine.
And pick up a fine Italian man over there.
I know. How do you say you are fine?
You say you are fine.
Okay, good enough.
It's in the eyes.
Yeah, it is.
It's in the eyes.
They would love you over there, Jerilyn.
I don't have those kind of eyes.
The eyes speak every... No, I'm not talking about like the color. I'm talking about the expression.
Mm. Oh, the expression.
Yes, eyes speak every language.
I need to practice flirting?
Yep.
I do that Wendy Williams thing. How you doing?
Nonverbal flirting. That's what you need to know.
Wait a minute.
And then just look lost.
Should I be listening to Jonathan Lowe?
Mm.
Maybe.
You could.
I never said I wasn't a good flirt.
When's your birthday,
Jerilyn? I'm a phenomenal flirt.
You are a phenomenal flirt?
I'm a phenomenal flirt.
You don't
flirt.
Follow through? Is that it?
I
what
just
happens?
Don't follow through. Mm. But I'm a phenomenal flirt.
Okay. When's your birthday?
My birthday is May 4th.
And you're going to turn?
What?
You
what? What? Okay, okay, right, okay. Wait. Before we move on, I am in the room.
Yes.
I am the furthest away from Geraldine.
Yes.
But even though I'm in the room and I did not ask the question, please don't ask the question on my behalf because she's going to turn that on me.
This is true.
Oh, the age question?
Yes. Don't do that, please.
This is true.
I'm begging.
Jonathan is about to turn 50.
No, he's not.
No,
are
he's
you?
Not. No, he's not.
No.
I'm 55. I can get cheap food at Perkins.
Are you really one of those?
Yes,
Denny's.
Ma'am.
Wait, Denny's or Perkins? Mm-hmm.
Okay, so first of all, my sister Janice is like that. I mean, she's like, "Have you gotten your AARP card?"
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, "I don't want an AARP card."
That'll mean you're old.
Do you have one?
Yeah, I got one. I got a lot of things.
Shaletta, do you have one?
Do you have a?
No,
she doesn't. She's shaking it off. Yeah. She can't get chatty tonight. She's learning that board.
She's learning that board, right?
Yep.
Look, woman, get chatty. I'm not playing.
Right.
Don't make me come over there and hug you.
Are you still sick or are you better?
No, I'm better.
Oh, good.
But she's got the germ problem.
Yeah.
I'm coming over.
Kiss her right on the mouth.
I'm coming right now, sugar. Call me a sugar. All right, we're going to take
all
a
right.
break.
Good
You're
night,
listening
darling.
To, good night, Suze. You're listening to Steel Talking. I am your host, Geraldine Steele. We'll be back in a moment.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
It is now 7:21 here at WCCO. Welcome. You are listening to Steel Talking, and I am your host, Geraldine Steele. Love being here with you, by the way. It's been almost 18 years. No, it has been 18 years, and I never get tired of it. It's just so good to be here with you. Well, this particular few minutes, we are going to talk about something that's really quite important. In the face of a continually fast-growing clean energy sector in Minnesota, Clean Energy Economy Minnesota, which is CEEM, is the acronym, partnered with the Business Council for Sustainable Energy to release the second annual edition of the Minnesota Sustainable Energy Fact Sheet earlier this week. And now joining us to talk about this sheet is Greg Mast. Welcome to WCCO, Greg. You are the Executive Director of Minnesota Clean Energy Economy. Tell us a little bit about it.
Well, hi, Geraldine.
Hey,
I'm thrilled to be joining you this evening. So Clean Energy Economy in Minnesota, we are an industry-led nonprofit organization that works throughout Minnesota to grow and strengthen our clean energy business ecosystem. And we provide a unified voice for clean energy businesses across the state. And a primary area of focus for us is educating stakeholders on the business case and economic opportunities that are presented by energy efficiency and clean energy to really drive innovation and expand markets here.
Mm-hmm. And to be clear, who are the stakeholders?
So it can be the public at large, as well as a lot of our work focuses on ensuring that policymakers and regional local decision makers are also up to speed as far as the latest when it comes to where and how the clean energy economy is really helping to drive and propel our economy here in the state forward.
And so how long has Minnesota Clean Energy Economy been around?
So we have been public for almost 2 years now.
Okay.
So time goes by quick.
Okay, excellent. Now, I understand that each year since 2013 that the Business Council for Sustainable Energy has produced a nationwide fact book that has provided intelligence and insight and significant clean energy facts and trends in the U.S. from the previous year. So how has this all helped the whole clean energy cause?
Yeah, so we have had the opportunity to partner with the Business Council the past couple of years now in helping to roll out the findings of the Sustainable Energy America Factbook. And what the Factbook really shows is data-driven, kind of fact-based information where it really looks at the overall trends in the energy system across the country, mm-hmm. as well as a deep dive into here in Minnesota, for example. And so I think a key theme that we are continuing to see emerge is that sustainable energy and its growth is really continuing to contribute to greater economic competitiveness, job creation, and expansion of our economy here in Minnesota. And so our state continues to be in a really strong leadership position when it comes to energy efficiency and renewable energy.
Yeah, even in the United States. That's pretty cool. That's great to hear. At the same time, you know, we have those moments or those months every now and then where all of a sudden clean energy is on the hearts and minds of everybody, not just Minnesotans, but it's talked about on all the news shows and it's the central conversation that we all need to have. And then all of a sudden it goes away. How do you keep succeeding and moving forward with this information and, you know, helping the whole country really understand its importance if that conversation comes and goes?
Right. So I think that what's really clear is that, you know, our country as well as our state is really prospering as our energy mix continues to become even more diversified mm-hmm. with greater clean energy sources. And then I think, Geralyn, what's really a key piece that is certainly bipartisan is that the types of jobs that are being created from the clean energy sector and the phenomenal growth trajectory, that's also what is certainly of interest and where we want to continue to see that grow. And here in Minnesota, clean energy jobs are growing four times faster than all other sectors of our state's economy. And we currently have over 57,000 Minnesotans that are employed in the state's clean energy industry. And, you know, a third of all of those jobs are in greater Minnesota.
This is an industry that deserves continuing education. I can just imagine how difficult it might be to stay on top to make sure that we are producing students that will go to college and learn this as well, or at least get jump into this industry. Are we having problems with that? Are we looking outside of the state to bring people in to have these jobs?
Well, I think as demand for clean energy continues to increase and with the fast growth of jobs and the need by clean energy businesses to fill those positions, I think that certainly we need to be doing everything that we can to prepare and educate the workforce of not only now, but also into the future and building that pipeline. So, you know, workforce development and preparedness is certainly something that we see as a continued need to focus on. And I think that it really is going to help position Minnesota to keep its competitive edge. The more that we can stay out in front and continue to lead in, you know, building that job force of the future.
Yeah. You know, as we look at technology, which seems to be moving at the speed of light, you know, I don't know how we keep up with it all. And this this new technology when it comes to energy is coming from all over the world. The one thing when Minnesota does well is we retain our students. We retain our children here, which is really great. Even if they go off to school, they usually come back to start a family and that sort of thing. At the same time, if we don't keep up with the technology and we don't stay on top of the technology that's entering the country and, of course, the state of Minnesota, do you fear that we can get behind or you already have the things in place to make sure that doesn't happen?
Again, I think it comes back to really looking at how does this opportunity in energy efficiency and clean energy provide Minnesota with growth, you know, economic growth opportunities, and ensuring that we stay competitive in a really a global economy. And so, I think that as we see and continue to anticipate system costs for, say, wind and solar to continue to come down, that demand is only going to continue to grow. And just in fact, over the last year, it was the first year that the total installed capacity of solar actually exceeded the amount of installed capacity in wind here in the state.
Oh, wow.
And so I think that as we think about those jobs and the fact that you know, across the country, the two fastest growing jobs right now are those of a solar installer and a wind turbine technician. I think that, again, we need to ensure that we are working with, you know, our colleges, our universities, technical colleges, to prepare a workforce for the future. And I think that we can continue to do that. And there's a lot of potential yet ahead to achieve.
Is that where most of the collaboration come from, is from the universities? From research?
Yeah, I think that there's ample space for public-private, you know, partnering. And the work that we do as an organization, work very closely with our clean energy business community in identifying what are the needs and where are those opportunities. And so we can continue to collaborate with our academic partners, our public sector partners, and ensuring that where we're focused is really going to continue to, you know, propel our industry forward here in the state and really provide benefits for the citizens. And I think it's important too, Jerry, to point out that oftentimes when we talk about clean energy, I think people think of, you know, wind and solar, but energy efficiency is the largest portion of all of our clean energy jobs in the state, and also is a reason why, from the fact book findings, what we have been seeing nationally and then as well as in Minnesota, you know, energy efficiency is really what is helping to, as you know, this energy economy continues to transform and diversify. That's what's keeping energy bills affordable, is oftentimes through energy efficiency. And so the total electricity bill for an average Minnesota household is $97 a month, and that's 14% below the national average. And so even as we're adding increased renewables, and that does not have any marginal cost to it like fossil fuel energy does. But as we continue to invest in energy efficiency, that's where we're finding that, you know, from the fact book, even nationally, this year marks the first time in history where consumers have voted the smallest share of their spending toward electricity than at any other time on record. So
it's
really exciting.
Yeah, it's very exciting. Final question. This second edition, was there anything on this fact sheet that really surprised you?
I think that what was really nice to see is that as we continue to add, you know, efficiency and renewables, we're seeing that nationally and then as well as here in Minnesota, the productivity of our energy sector continues to grow. And what I mean by that is, you know, we're continuing to see economic growth, while at the same time, the total energy that's being consumed is continuing to decline. And so we're seeing that decoupling of sustained and increased economic growth while consuming less energy. And so I think that that's a real positive, and that is just showcasing that, you know, energy productivity is a really important metric to keep our eye on.
Yeah, Minnesota, that's who we are. You know, we are so plugged into this. That's why I'm really excited to talk to you tonight, Greg. Thanks so much for joining us. We sure appreciate it. If people want more information about Minnesota clean energy economy, where do they go?
They can visit our site at cleanenergyeconomymn.org and find all kinds of information, not only on the fact book, but also the jobs that I had mentioned. And yeah, it's a real pleasure, Sherilyn, for joining you tonight. And it's exciting. You know, clean energy is thriving, and it's a true success story. And in Minnesota, you know, clean energy and efficiency is driving investment, creating jobs all across the state. And that's just good for business and good for our economy.
We needed that good news tonight, Greg. Thanks so much for joining us. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right. You are listening to Steel Talk, and we're going to take a break, do some weather, and be back in just a moment. Opportunity came, birds sang, sun shined, and honey, a gold came home to Minnesota. It is now 7:37. The U.S. Olympic curling team took home the gold in the Korea Games thanks to several Minnesotans, such as Duluth native Tyler George, who is joining us tonight to talk about this whole experience at the Olympic Winter Games. Tyler George, congratulations on the gold. How do you feel?
It's still hard to put into words even now. You know, everything that we've done, even since we won the gold with this whirlwind tour we just did out in New York, any one of these events on their own would seem awfully surreal. But, yeah, just every day I got to wake up and take a look at the medal to make sure it's still there. I know the first couple nights we all slept with them beside our pillows to make sure it was real.
Make sure it was real. I have to tell you, our household absolutely watched curling, and it was really exciting to see it all happen. It was exciting to see the doubles, you know. I kept thinking to myself, you guys have been really well known in the state of Minnesota for curling for a long time, so this has got to be just another one of those moments where you say, look how good we are. Are you starting to get calls from other countries? Are you starting to get people who are more interested in how this particular state has done so well?
Yeah, I was really surprised, actually, when we were out in New York this week, how interested people were in curling and how much they said they appreciated what we did, supported us, and how much they watched. I knew it would be that way in Minnesota when we got back, but thought it would cool down once we were on the East Coast, and it wasn't that way at all. We have stockbrokers, lawyers, and bankers coming up in suits on the streets that want to meet us, shake our hands, and, you know, buy our meals and everything. Like, it's just not something that we're used to, and it seems to be widespread all across the country, too. I guess we didn't really know the level of support that we had or how much people really got into the event until we got back home, but it's sure been fun listening to all of it.
Yeah, I think I interviewed someone from the curling club here in Minnesota probably Oh, my goodness, maybe 6 to 8 years ago. And I remember trying to read up on what is it. But now it seems like you guys have done so well and we're so excited about it. I think people have gone on the internet to try to figure out what it is. And now maybe you're going to start seeing young people like they did when Tiger Woods was playing golf and all of a sudden children of all colors were playing golf. Are you starting to see children get interested of all colors in curling?
Oh, absolutely. I can tell you that firsthand just from going around even in New York and Minnesota that, you know, the interest in the sport doesn't seem to have a color or a race. All the people that have come up to us to talk to us about it, you know, whether it's teachers that have their classrooms watching or parents that just tell us that their kids want to curl now that they watched us on TV. And that's not something that we really saw in the past. So for it to go mainstream like this, and I know it's right after the Olympics and this is when the push should be the biggest, but you know, if we can get the kids on the ice right now in these next couple of weeks while it's still fresh in their minds, then it's a huge opportunity to grow the game all across the country.
Yeah, absolutely. 16th century, am I correct about that? This has been around since the 16th
century? I believe
century.
That's right, yeah, 1600s.
Wow, incredible. So can I just ask very quickly, how in the world did you get involved in curling? Was this something passed down through generations in your family?
Yeah, my parents actually ran the Duluth Curling Club bar restaurant when I was born, so I get stories all the time about people seeing me sleeping in the roasting pans in the kitchen as an infant. So I was raised on the game. There was never any doubt that I was going to end up playing. And I ended up having curlers for role models, too, which sounds a little bit funny to people that aren't familiar with the game, but the community itself, the curling community, is just such a tight-knit group. A lot of wonderful people. They always say, you know, if you're a curler and you're traveling someplace where there's a curling club, you always got a place to stay. And that's just the way it is. And I never really thought about it any other way. I knew I was going to play. I just love the people so much. And the sport is, it's not like anything else that I've ever played. It's so cerebral. It's like chess on ice, but still physically exerting at the same time.
That's the perfect way to describe it, like chess on ice. Let me ask you very quickly about the tools of the game. You know, every time I watch curling, I learn something different. I notice something different. I didn't realize how many different types of brooms or brushes there are. I didn't realize it's some that sometimes resemble a mop or some resemble, you know, it's very unique. But the stones all seem the same. Are they different weights? Help me understand that.
The stones only vary a tiny bit, and that's just by random variance. They all center right around 42 pounds, but they might be a couple ounces heavier or lighter depending on the club that you play in, but never any more than that. So, I mean, you're not really going to be able to tell much of a difference in any given game that you play. With the brooms themselves, there's different brooms that are better for different ice conditions, too, and there used to be a lot more variance in the game with what types of brooms were used. It's pretty centralized now, even with the different equipment companies that are out there. They've gotten to a pretty standard conforming fabric after they had some issues with the technology going too far, kind of like you saw with golf clubs over the last decade where they had to ramp things back a little bit. And that's kind of where curling brooms have gone to, too. So if there's going to be any comparison with the equipment, I'd say golf is probably the best one.
Well, it's pretty cool. I don't know how often the technology changes for a game that's been around since the 16th century, but I can just imagine it doesn't quite look the same as it did 100 or even 200 years ago. Am I right about
that's
that?
That's right, yeah. That's definitely correct, yes.
Wow. Okay, so if there's one thing that you would like young people who are listening tonight to know about the game of curling, what would that be?
The thing that we try to get across more than anything else is that it's such a welcoming community. You know, it's a fun sport to play. I love the game. I always will. But the best thing about it is that if you start up in curling at an early age, you're going to meet a lot of great people. You're going to get to travel around the country if you decide to do it competitively. But I'd have half the friends I have in the world if it wasn't for the sport. And there are people at the top levels of the game that will take time out of their day whenever possible to help kids that are just starting out. You know, I always tell people in our interviews that we do on TV or even just on social media that if anybody wants to get a hold of us, even, you know, the Olympic team, you know, our door is always open. If you find us on social media, we're willing to give advice whenever we can. And that's just the way the curling community is as a whole. You know, I didn't really sense that with anything else that I played growing up, like with baseball, soccer, basketball, anything like that. I really enjoyed the sport, but the community just wasn't the same. And
right. And it really sports, you know, successful sports. That's what it is. It's about community and family. So, Tyler George, as you move forward, are you going to, you know, retire and say, you know, I'm going to teach it. I'm going to stay involved in it. I mean, I don't want you to get away from this glory moment right now. This moment ought to last a long time. But your future, you know, 20 years from now, what do you see?
Well, I hope to still be involved in the game in some respect, you know, whether it's promoting it or running a club or something like that. I have another job as it is right now, a family-run liquor store. But the game will always be involved in my life in some sort. You know, if I'm still playing in 20 years, if I'm lucky enough to be doing that, I doubt it'll be in a real competitive fashion. But anything with coaching or development of the game or being just any kind of ambassador I can for the sport, I can definitely see myself still doing that at any age of my life.
Well, absolutely. And we look forward to hearing so much more from you. Are you married with children yet?
I'm not.
Oh, I can't wait to find out from you if your children, when they get into this world, if they will be a part of the whole curling community. Thank you so much for joining us, Tyler George. Really appreciate it. And congratulations.
Well, thanks for having me on. Yeah, I appreciate it. Thanks.
All right. Again, that is American curler, gold medalist, woo, from the U.S. Olympic curling team, who took home the gold in Korea last week. Thanks to several Minnesotans, such as this young man that we just talked to tonight, Tyler George. And I'm really just blown away watching the game. I love watching curling. And to tell you a little story, by the way, before we go to break, I think it wasn't the last Winter Games. It was probably the one before that. Let me think now. It's every 4 years, right? I've been on radio 18 years. So I can't remember which one it was. I don't think it was 4 years ago. But some Minnesotans also won a medal. I can't remember if it was gold or not for curling. And I had an iguana. So this was probably in 2002. I think it was 2002, maybe 2004. And I was trying to get rid of this iguana before I was moving to California. So it had to be 2004, Jonathan. That's what it was. And I needed to find a really good home for this iguana that my son absolutely loved. And we were moving out to California. So, yes, that was 2004. And there was one of the winners from the curling team in St. Paul that called up and said, I'll take the iguana. I've been wanting an iguana for years. I'm divorced now. I don't have a wife to fuss at me, so I would love to have it. And I had a chance to meet him, and he built this beautiful room for this really pretty big iguana. And I started reading about curling after meeting him. I really did. I started reading about it, learning about it, and have been watching it ever since as often as I can. Sometimes look it up and see what's new. And, you know, I'd love to see the outfits change, by the way, Tyler George. If you're listening, I'd love to see, like, you know, the teams wear some really, really cool high-tech gear. And maybe it's already there, but I don't know it. I'm just looking forward to noticing that. Maybe that's from seeing Black Panther. I've seen it twice now, and some of the outfits were so cool. So there you go. Anyway, so proud of our U.S. Olympic curling team. Well done to the Minnesotans who were right there involved, took home the gold. Yes, well done. We're going to take a break. We'll be back in a moment.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
It is now 7:50 here at WCCO. My goodness, how the time is flying. Welcome back. You are listening to Steele Talking, and I am your host, Geraldine Steele. You know, this is the first time I think I've been talking about the Olympics because I had a chance to watch some of those Olympic games and the skiing and what is it called, Jonathan? Not the luge, but when they lay down flat, and what is that called?
So you're talking about going down the track?
Yeah.
Now,
if you lay down?
If they are laying down,
yes,
like that
on
their
movie
back,
with that Jamaican team.
Yeah. Well, if they're laying down on their back,
yes,
it is the luge.
Okay, it is.
If they're laying down front side with their head going forward, that's called skeleton.
Okay, no, it was not skeleton.
So you're talking about the bobsled.
The bobsled. There you go.
Yes.
That was cool. You know, to know that every move you make can affect the turn, right? Every move you make. I just think it was fantastic. If your foot goes the wrong way, you know, just one of your feet just, you know, decides to kind of go on its own. You get a little twitch.
Yeah.
It can make a difference.
Especially when you're watching the people on the skeleton. You're just kind of nervous.
I was nervous about several things I watched. Seriously.
As?
And I made myself sit and, like, oh, the skiing and so much more. You know, Lindsey Vonn, I was just really, you know, hoping that she would do well. And the skating, the ice skating. Oh, man, it was, I don't know, it was really exciting. And I was nervous at first before the games ever began, Jonathan, you know, with North Korea being there. And
right, yes.
You know, what did you think about the first daughter being over there for the last 2 days?
I mean, it's really a figurehead type of deal.
Was that supposed to be a means of diplomacy? Was that supposed to say,
no, I think
we're ready to talk?
Whenever you have an Olympic Games, you're going to have people that are higher up in government or some type of official that is going to oversee.
But they were sitting so close to the North Koreans. I mean, these are the people that supposedly put the poison on the brothers. They have brother's face.
This is true.
Dead.
This is true.
He's gone.
Yeah.
Yeah, right? So how do you sit that close? Literally almost in arm's length. That's what it looked like. Maybe I'm wrong. But
I would think that they would have better sense than to pull something like that on the president's daughter, the United States president's daughter, in full bloom or full scope of the world's eye. Because remember, she's there. Everybody knows she's there. So all the press is going to be there. You're not going to try to pull something like
that.
But
we are their nemesis.
Right, but you're not going to try to pull something like that in front of the press.
What?
Not if you're trying to be sneaky.
Can we just go back in history? We did have a president who was killed in full sight.
Right, but that
press,
was that was
TVs,
different.
Everything.
That was different. That was different. I think the
how different? I mean, if you're going to do that, I mean, okay. First of all, I'm a little confused about why she was there, and second of all, I think it puts everyone around in peril. Considering that we are not getting along with North Korea, it's not like those talks were. It's not like we're sitting down, or she was there to say, "Hey, let's have a little chat," and you know,
again,
try to work
I think
this
it's,
out with
it's
diplomacy.
More of a figurehead position. It's more of she's over there to. I'm trying to figure it out, but it's like if you have a delegation that goes over to a multinational convention or something, mm-hmm. and you want to be represented. She was trying to represent the administration. Now, I'm certain that there have been people like John Kerry or Condoleezza Rice or some, you know, people that have been secretaries of state or in
sitting
the,
that
in the
close to North Korean leaders.
Not North Korean leaders, but just at those events to represent the country, to represent the athletes of that particular country. So. Maybe
you know, Vice President Pence was the first one to do it. He said
right,
very
he,
close
well, yeah,
to
he,
the sister.
Well, he was there mm-hmm. For the opening ceremonies, right. and Ivanka Trump was there for the closing ceremonies.
Right.
So, again, it's more of a figurehead position. You're probably not going to get the president there unless you are in the country that is hosting the games.
Mm-hmm. So would you ever go to the Winter Games?
Oh, sure.
Yeah? I
take
what
a lot of layers.
Oh, man. Seriously, what are those heating things? And by the way, we had those little heating things when we did the Super Bowl outdoor stage.
Yes, yes.
Did not work.
Ugh.
Just want you to know.
I've never been, I've never been a fan of those hand warmers.
Yeah.
They never seem to work for me either. The cold seeps into my skin and I just hold it in. That's why I tell people I am not human. I'm a reptile. I am a reptile.
So you can handle it.
No.
Well, there you go.
No, but I wish I could have gone to the Vancouver Games in 2010. That would have been a real fun time to go to that.
Mm-hmm.
But this Olympics and then the next two are held basically in the same region of the world because the 2020 Summer Games are in Tokyo, and then the 2022 Winter Games, they're going back to Beijing.
Wow, Beijing.
Yeah, so Beijing's going to have a Summer Olympics and a Winter Olympics that they've hosted in 2022.
Wow. Yeah. Man, their opening ceremonies was just crazy good.
Yeah.
Hey, by the way, coming up next, we're going to talk about some of the changes to the deductions of the new tax bill, the impact of charitable giving. Now that people have gotten a tax break or maybe you got a bonus or something like that, will people still give? Will they give money? Will they still give to charity? There's so much to talk about with this because, you know, a lot of times people give so that they can get a tax break.
Absolutely.
And then other times, I think Minnesotans, we are very serious about giving. And a lot of times we give because we believe in what we are giving to. Right?
But the tax break helps.
But the tax break. So are you thrilled about it? Have you seen a difference?
I haven't filed my taxes yet. I really don't do a lot of charitable giving. And if I do, I usually don't report it because I'm kind of, like you said, I'm just giving to give. You know, tax break is fine, but I don't keep track of it. I don't ask people for receipts and get all that because I'm just trying to give to a cause and trying to help out.
Wow.
I feel like I'm in a position, if I can do that, I'm in a position of good. I'm in a position where I can help out. So
I so don't know if I believe that, but I love you.
Oh.
No, the reason I say that is because you're so meticulous. So it would seem the person that I know that's really meticulous would be the guy who would save every receipt.
I'm kind of meticulous at work. I'm not quite as meticulous at home.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
Yes.
I gotcha. Well, I'm excited to talk about this. We're going to have the Minnesota Regional Executive Director for the American Red Cross is going to join us to talk about this very thing because I'm a little confused about it. I talked to Michael, and my son saw, you know, a slight jump in his check. I guess there was a bonus or there was an increase for the employees where he works in Los Angeles, and he was pretty excited about it. But then what does that really mean? You know, if you're getting $30 per check and a little more, $30 per check, and it costs you $30 to get your car washed, I just don't think you ought to be celebrating. That's all I got to say about that. Okay. Michael will be on tonight, by the way, for the Mom and Michael Hour at 10 o'clock. So stay tuned. We will address this. You are listening to Still Talking. Coming up next is Phil Hansen of the Minnesota Regional Executive Director for the American Red Cross.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.